Welcome to Turning Two with Mike Jankowitz and Alex Metz, podcasting live from the not-so-baseball capital of the world, Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, here's Mike and Alex.
And baseball has begun.
It's back, baby.
Welcome to Turning Two. I am Alex Metz, and sitting right across from me drinking a Manhattan is the one and the only Mike Jankowitz. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Oh, not much. Just sitting here, sipping on a Manhattan, Don Draper style.
I believe his drink is an old-fashioned, if I remember correctly.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah, I think... Well, I don't know if it's the same as a Manhattan, but I know he drinks an old-fashioned. So, sort of similar.
Well, let me tell you, I just feel like...
You have the glass to go with it.
I'm drinking the 50s right now. It tastes wonderful.
Two 25-year-old kids living in North Carolina, and we're drinking scotch while doing this episode right now.
Wouldn't have it any other way.
I guess not. Usually it's beer, but we decided to change it up today in honor of opening day.
Yeah.
Which happened for the past 3 weeks.
I know. The past 17 weeks we've had opening day, and, you know, we got to drink scotch now. Our Phillies are off to such a bad start.
Well, we're going to get into that in a second. But first, let's talk about the unbelievable... I don't want to say raping, but almost just complete just disintegration of what opening day was really used to be all about.
Yeah.
And now it's driven by television ratings, which is just like anything else. That makes sense. I mean, I love being able to watch the games on my HDTV and not have to spend, you know, a bunch of money to go to the ballpark every time I want to see my team or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing.
Definitely not.
But
it kind of is.
It kind of is. And here's why I think it is. Because we have to have our fantasy draft a week in advance so that we can start the stat counting a week earlier because they play two games in Japan.
I know. That is just stupid. You can still play in Japan, but why do you got to do it a week earlier? That's dumb.
If you're going to play in Japan, do it a week earlier. That's fine. But give me a matchup I care about.
At least that.
Make it Sox-Yankees. Make it, you know, Phils-Braves. Make it Diamondbacks-Giants. Give me an interdivision. I mean, Mariners-A's is an interdivisional, you know, thing. Yeah. But give me we talked a couple episodes ago when we did our AL West preview just how, you know, good the Rangers and the Angels are and just how bad the Mariners and the...
Let's have those teams.
So let's have the two... Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I think they want to do the Mariners just because, you know, their owner's Japanese.
Well, and Ichiro plays for them, which is cool, and I understand that. But, you know, if you're going to make it this big spectacle, I mean, you're telling me those Japanese guys wouldn't want to see Josh Hamilton? Wouldn't want to see, you know...
I don't think anybody really cared about those games.
They didn't.
I feel like they didn't even happen. I have a bigger bone to pick with just how many off days there are. Like,
well, that's the next thing.
What the hell? I mean, why is there so many off days? The Phillies played on... What did they play? Was it Wednesday?
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Off Friday. Play Saturday, Sunday. Play Monday.
And then
off Tuesday.
Right.
Come on!
Here's the thing. The reason that they do it is because they want... What they want to do is they want to be able to split up the number of teams that are playing their very first game, because the season's young, people are excited that baseball's coming back, they're going to tune in and watch and see how their team does. So instead of piling, you know, what is it, like 15 games into one day, split it up, do, you know, like 7-7 or 7-8 or whatever you want to do, and that way you get double the TV revenue because you can have half the game, people watching half the games Thursday and people watching half the games Friday. It makes fiscal sense, but it pisses us off to no degree.
I don't know any fan that really likes that.
Nobody does.
It's like you said, it's all about the cash. It's all about the cash, homie.
And it makes you upset because, you know, you think baseball's starting, we're going to get into this groove where all of a sudden there's a game every single day, and you got to wait 2 weeks before there's a game every day.
It's like preseason round or spring training round two.
That's exactly what
spring
it is.
Training light.
And that's why we want to caution to you, or at least I do. Mike's a little bit more irrational than I am, but that's why I want to caution to you fans out there of teams of maybe like the Phillies or the Red Sox or the Yankees, that these 0-3 and 1-3 starts, it's still spring training technically. So don't get too worried about it. But we're going to get into that a little bit later. But speaking of the Phillies, Mike... What time is it right now? It's about 6:36 p.m. on the East Coast. Spent all day at work, working my butt off, but I had my MLB at TV at bat app up watching the Phillies this afternoon against the Marlins. Mm-hmm. And what a woeful display. Once again.
Yeah, what I saw, it was pretty ugly. And that's why I am kind of pissed. Because it is just the fourth game of the season. But the same problems that have been plaguing this team for seriously a couple years now, let's be honest with ourselves, is still happening. And I'm just beginning to wonder if this team is going to be able to go all the way with the lineup that they have.
Well, speaking of the lineup, let's read the starting lineup here from today. Juan Pierre leading off, Placio Polanco second, Jimmy Rollins third, Hunter Pence fourth, Shane Victorino fifth.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, that doesn't look all that terrible.
I hate Victorino batting fifth.
Oh, you do? Where would you bat him? I mean, if you have Pierre in the lineup, where would you have him? Because Pierre has to lead off if he's going to be
in the lineup. Yeah, I would have him either second or sixth. I don't like Victorino taking a RBI kind of approach.
Because then he feels like he needs to hit a home run.
Yeah, and I just don't like it. We've seen him get off track in the past with that, and it bothers me when he tries to do that. I think he's so much better at just setting the table. But that's one of my rants. We'll get into that probably in a little bit.
to round out the lineup, John Mayberry 6th, Carlos Ruiz 7th.
So, why not hit Mayberry 5th? He's an RBI guy. Yeah. Hit him 5th, put, you know, Victorino 6th. Victorino can still knock some guys in, mm-hmm. and maybe he can set the table for the 7, 8, 9 guys.
Or, how about the hottest guy on the whole Phillies roster, this next man, Carlos Ruiz, Chooch. Is batting 7th.
Thank God for Chooch.
Put him up to 5th or 6th.
Do it.
He already has more RBIs than most guys on the team, and he's batting 7th.
Yep. Which is even higher than he usually hits.
And today's only hero, Freddie Galvis.
Freddie Galvis, yep.
Batting 8th with
double and two ribbies, right?
A double and two ribbies. And that's pretty much all that happened. We saw Lance Nix and Nix was supposed to get into the game, but then Charlie, you know, baited him there. And
Charlie remembered that he sucked balls.
Brought in Wigginton because they brought up a different pitcher. So, I mean, just looking at this here, I mean, they didn't score a run until the 7th inning today with that Galvis double, and that was it. 2 runs on 6 hits, an error. It's just not very, very good. And people want to get on Hamels because he gave up 3 home runs. But mm-hmm. he actually struck out 9 and did pretty well. I mean, for the most part, it was only a run an inning, really. After kind of a weird start in the first inning there. But, I mean, he didn't look great, but he definitely wasn't terrible. Anytime you strike out 9 guys, it's not that bad of an outing.
Yeah, from what I saw, I caught a little bit of the 3rd inning. I was pretty busy this afternoon. But from what I saw, he looked really good. You know, end of the day line, aside from those strikeouts, doesn't look too great. But, you know, I'm not really worried about Hamels. I'm not worried at all about our starting pitching. That'll be fine.
No.
But the lineup, man. I know Utley's gone. I know Howard's gone. I get it. Okay? But they've struggled with those guys in the lineup, too. So what my big problem is just this continual, I'm going to hit a home run every time I step into the box attitude I see from certain guys on this team. And it's got to change. I love that they're trying to play a little more small ball, that they're bunting, they're aggressive on the bases. I like that.
But their approaches at the plate aren't changing.
They're
like,
not.
Like, they might be, you know, maybe try to bunt a guy over, or they might try and do a little situational hitting. And it's been paying off a little bit because they've been getting their runs that way. They only have 1 home run so far, and that's from Hunter Pence.
Yeah, they have 1 home run. Okay, keep that in mind.
So, I mean, it makes sense to try and play that way if you're, you know, lacking power with guys like Utley and Howard not in the lineup. That makes sense. However, you're not going to play situational baseball by, you know, swinging 0-1 every time and getting a pop out or a ground out.
I can't take it anymore. I've watched Rollins do this for years now. I feel like...
And he's not even the worst defender on the team.
Right now, Rollins is actually doing pretty well, but I've still seen him pop a couple balls. I'm just so tired of that... I'm going to hit it out approach, and I'm not Ryan Howard.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's unacceptable. And I need Victorino to be a little bit more of a table setter. I need Rollins to do the same thing. Just need these guys to get on base. I just feel like this team is really just struggling lately, these past couple years with getting on base. Again, I know it's only 4 games, but the same problems that have been plaguing this team are there. And I'm wondering if it's ever going to change.
And that leads to Mike's ultimate solution. We have two different ideas about how we want to solve what's going on with our team here. You guys may not all be Phillies fans, but at least, you know, the Phillies are a fairly popular team in the league. So this is something we feel like we need to get off our chest because we really don't have any other way to do it.
This might upset you.
It might upset you.
It kind of upsets me to even say it, to be honest. I wish that it didn't have to be this way, but I'm starting to wonder if there might be no other alternative.
So Mike has one idea about how to solve things. I have a different idea. Mike, why don't you go first and say if you were the GM right now, if you were Rube, and you were gonna try and fix this woefully dreaded lineup 4 games into the season, what would your approach be?
Okay, well, I don't know if I'm going to take it that far and say that this is what I would do, but I do want to open it up for speculation because I do think it's something worth considering. Shane Victorino, Cole Hamels, they're in a contract year. Very important players to this team over the past 5 years. Very good players. Victorino, even honestly, at various times throughout his career, has been my favorite Philly. I love him. That being said, I'm not sure I'm in love with paying Victorino probably what he would get on the open market in his next contract. And Hamels is going to be worth every penny of whatever he gets. But this team is in serious need of some youthful talent into their lineup. Therefore, I'm suggesting that the Phillies consider trading Shane Victorino and Cole Hamels and maybe a couple prospects if they have to, a couple lesser prospects, for some players, some position players who are 26, 27 years old, entering their primes, good players, really good players, who maybe their team isn't going to be able to afford them, maybe they're not in contention right now, they're going to walk anyway, you know, kind of a like a 100 pence kind of deal like we did with the Astros, something like that. We need a couple more guys like that, and I'm not sure how else we're going to get them. I'm not too keen on the idea of trading those guys for even top prospects because we don't know how they're going to turn out in the, you know, in the major leagues. But this team, I don't know many free agents that are coming out on the market soon that kind of fit that profile. So I'm wondering if maybe the only way to get that is through a trade. And I think that that's what this team desperately needs for the next couple years.
Wow.
That was long-winded.
Philly fans, did you hear that? He wants to trade Shane Victorino and Cole Hamels. Now, Shane Victorino I kind of agree with in the sense that, not that I'm agreeing that I want to trade him, but I'm agreeing that if you're trading somebody at the deadline this year maybe who has a contract that's about to expire and that you can maybe get something for before he hits free agency, maybe that's the guy you do it with. Cole Hamels, I throw red flags everywhere. Even though he's going to be the top paid pitcher on the open market this year, if he makes it that far, he's homegrown, he's a World Series MVP, he's arguably one of the top 10 pitchers in the league right now. I think you keep him at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting thing to think about.
It is.
Because
I don't want to trade either of those guys. I don't.
It's an interesting thing to think about because if you look at it, even if you did trade Hamels, you still have Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay.
Right. Who I think at least have 5 good years left.
At least. Absolutely. So it's an interesting thing to think about. Now, I look at you and I say, okay, you know, that's all well and dandy, but A, what is significant return for those two players in a trade? And these 26, 27-year-olds that are not going to be afforded by their team and are entering free agency next year, who are they and where do they come from?
Well, that's what we need to figure out because I'm not sure that they exist. I'm not sure what kind of team is going to be in a position to give up that kind of talent. But also, I don't know if it has to be that exact scenario, but something along those lines. I feel like they got to do something like they did to get Pence.
Yeah.
You know, again, because they need to get young talent in this lineup.
Well, let's be honest. To get those guys, we had to give up a lot of young talent.
We did.
So, as much as Ruben likes to think that and live by this motto that, oh, you know, you can never be deep enough at pitching, where I might agree with him, I would also say that, you know, I think we're pretty deep at pitching.
Yeah.
You know? Even though our bullpen's a little banged up right now, we're waiting for Contreras to come back, you know, a couple different things there. But for the most part, the bullpen's pretty sound, and we have a lot of starting pitching depth. Like, you have Kyle Kendrick, you have Joe Blanton, you have guys that can turn into starters, and you have even more guys in the minor leagues, too.
Yeah.
So, maybe take some of that pitching. If it isn't Cole Hamels, maybe somebody else.
Somebody else, something.
And try and get somebody else that can help you in the lineup. Now, I have the solution, more my particular solution, trumps all of that, because you don't need to make a trade, and all you need to maybe do is cut somebody or make a demotion.
I'm all for it. Let's hear it.
There's a little man, actually he's a very tall man, down there in AAA, who's just mashing away right now.
Oh, here we go.
And you know what his name is?
Coming.
His name's Dominic Brown.
Oh, boy. I love Dominic Brown.
The Lance Nix, the Ty Wigginton experiment, four games in, I'm over it.
Junk it.
It was good while it lasted.
Was it?
Let's start. I'll write him their pink slip right now. Do you hear me click my pen? I'm writing the slip. Here we go. Say it. Goodbye. Designated for assignment. Cut him. Whatever you have to do. Pay Nix his $2 million or whatever idiot contract you sign him for. It doesn't matter. Play Mayberry at first. Play Tomy a couple days a week there. Or if you don't want to get rid of those other guys, demote Juan Pierre. He's a nice leadoff hit, but I mean, let's be honest. What's he really going to do for this team?
I mean,
we haven't seen it yet.
He's been okay, but I mean, they don't need okay. They need a young star.
They need a stud.
They do, and they need a guy with some energy too. I'm tired of seeing this team walk around like their shit doesn't stink. Like, they just won the World Series last year, and they have for the past 4 years, because they haven't, okay? They won in 2008, and it was freaking great. I loved it. But this team, ever since then, I don't feel like they've played with the same intensity. They need a young guy to come in who's going to put this team on his back offensively and give them that spark, you know? Get them playing this game again, you know?
And if you look at it, I mean, yeah, the bench is deep with lefties, but, I mean, all of a sudden, this lineup is really right-handed heavy.
Yeah, without and Howard and Utley.
It's just unbelievable. So, what you do is you say, hey, Mayberry, we like you in left field, but right now with Howard out, we like you more at first base. So that's where you're going to play. And we say, hey, Juan Pierre, hey, Lance Nix, grab a seat on the pine, because we're bringing up the star. We're bringing up the stud, and he's going to play every day. He's going to face lefties, he's going to face righties, and he's going to hit the ball out of the ballpark, and things are going to be okay again. If I were Ruben, that's what I would do right now, because even though it's three or four games in or whatever, there's something big that's missing right now.
There is.
And if you have a guy like that in your minor leagues, and I know he came up a couple times and he didn't really perform as everybody thought he would, but he was also on the bench for most of it.
And he also wasn't terrible. I feel like he gets
really
a pretty
wasn't
bad
that
rap.
Bad.
Last year he did well. He played very well last year. He you know, he had 5 home runs and like 200 plate appearances. He drew walks. He's got a great eye.
His on-base percentage was ridiculous for how little he played.
You know, he's performing well enough to be in this lineup, in my opinion.
And absolutely. 100%.
I know that the guy kind of sucks in left field. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care at all. This team, I can't take another season like last season. I know that they hit well the second half after they got Hunter. The first half was unbearable. I can't do it again. I don't care how many games they win. I need to see this team hitting the ball.
But remember, that second half was with Ryan Howard and with Chase Utley in the lineup.
It was, and it'll be great to get him back. But I mean,
until then, we need to do something here.
We need some help. And even when they do come back, I still feel like we're going to need some help.
Yeah.
This isn't the team from 07.
Right.
They're not that team anymore. They need some help.
Here's the thing. The reality of it is it's a slow start, and that's not that big of a deal. We're not really that concerned because there's a lot of baseball to play left. However, you need to bide your time and stay in contention before Utley and Howard come back, because when they do come back, watch out. But here's the thing. They have the pitching depth to win the games when they need to. They just need a spark offensively so that they can kind of stay afloat here while they deal with these injuries.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that hard. I don't understand why he's down there in AAA still. I mean, yeah, he's going to bat every day and he's going to get to work on his left fielding ability. But does that really matter?
I mean, it matters. I mean, they're going to give up, you know, some runs with Dominic Brown in left field. But I feel like when this pitching is on, they're well equipped to give up a couple more runs. I feel like, I don't even know if, like, the payoff, if you look at advanced stats, how much it would really help them from a wins total, but I feel like the spark he would give the team might give them some intangible thing that would make them better. You know what I mean?
And that problem that we have with nobody in behind Hunter Pence to really mash the ball, it's solved. You put him in fifth.
And he's left-handed.
And he's left-handed.
He fixes our lefty problem.
It's all right there in front of you.
It is.
How long before he gets called up?
If they keep going like this...
Not very soon.
Give it a week.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, if it keeps going like this, he'll be up. I know Ruben and them have said that they don't want him up this year. I think that that's more like they're saying it
right.
So Brown can kind of just get his crap together, you
right.
know? But I want him up. I wanted him up in spring training.
Well, I did too. And let's be honest, he made some flubs in left field in spring training that probably led to his demotion. But at the same time, you know, he may have fallen off the charts as far as how high he's been ranked as prospects. I mean, he used to be a number one prospect. He's fallen off a little bit because of his struggles in the major leagues so far. But I really think that's conducive as to what, you know, Ruben and Charlie, the situations they were putting him in. Bring him up, play him in left field every day, and let's get the ball rolling.
Let's get on with our lives.
Now, from a team that has had a slow start to two more teams that have had really slow starts.
Yeah.
The Red Sox and the Yankees.
Huh.
0-3 to start the year.
Yeah, that doesn't feel good. I don't care what you say.
As a Phillies fan, at least we have a win.
At least we got one.
We got the first one out of the way.
First day we got a win, and boy, wasn't it beautiful. 1-0.
The Yankees are going to be in Camden Yards tonight against the Orioles. And the
3-0 Orioles.
The 3-0 Baltimore Orioles. And the Boston Red Sox are going to be in Toronto to face those Blue Jays that you like so much.
I love those Blue Jays.
So let's just take a little bit of time and talk about some things that we saw from the opening weekend that kind of were encouraging, that were exciting, that were kind of surprising a little bit. And we just mentioned the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Sox, first of all, were involved in a pretty ridiculous series against the Cleveland Indians over the weekend that involved an opening day game that was the longest in MLB history.
Yeah.
16 innings.
And then they went back and played 12 the next day.
Yes.
Those guys must have been beat.
That's just unbelievable stuff. You look at the Indians... for whatever reason. Oh, and then in that game, I almost forgot about this. The second game, Ubaldo Jimenez's start.
Right.
He had a no-hitter going through, what, seven?
There's been eight almost no-nos
in the first
weekend. It's so ridiculous. I feel like ever since a couple years ago, these pitchers are just getting better and better. No, I remember a no-hitter, you get like one a year. You'd be like, no way, got a no-hitter. Now it's like, oh, this guy's got a no-hitter going into the seventh. He's got a no-hitter going into the eighth.
Well, isn't that kind of have a lot to do with the society we live in now with Twitter and Facebook and
yeah, that too.
And all of a sudden, with a drop of a hat, you all of a sudden know, like, this guy's going no-no into the eighth. Oh, I'm going to check out this game, you know? It's just like, it never used to be like that.
Probably does have something to do with that.
But there was also an influx of phenomenal pitching in the last couple years, which helped a lot. I mean, past couple seasons, how many no-hitters have there been? Like seven, eight? Like, there's been a lot.
I think there might even
maybe
more than that.
So that was pretty interesting, I thought, from the Blue Jays-Indians series. Something more about Ubaldo Jimenez, though. He, as soon as the suspension came down, he decided, for plunking Troy Tulowitzki, he decided to appeal. And of course, when you have a suspension in the appeals process, you can still play.
Yeah.
So he makes his first scheduled start and then drops the appeal the next day so that he gets the suspension and doesn't miss a start. Can you hate this guy anymore?
Yeah, he's,
I mean, it's a smart move.
Yeah. Can't blame him. I mean, would you do anything different?
No. But at the same time, it's like this. He went out. He plunked a superstar in the game.
He doesn't even get punished for it. I mean, basically. That's what it comes down to.
And because of loopholes, he gets to make his first start, and he doesn't miss the next one.
Right. You know, basically, you know, since he's a starting pitcher, you know, those 5 days on the bench aren't really going to hurt him.
Now, who do you blame for that? Is that the system's fault? Is that Bud Selig's fault for allowing such a thing to happen? Or, you know, is it his fault for not giving out a heftier suspension and saying, it's five starts. It's not five games.
Yeah, maybe it should be something like that. Because I look at that and I'm like, okay, what are they trying to do with him? They know he's a starting pitcher. By suspending him for 5 games, are they basically just saying, all right, you're missing a start?
Right.
If that's the case, okay, I guess that's what they see fit. But, I mean, if you want him to... you want him to miss any more time than that. I mean, obviously, you need to maybe make the suspension a little longer.
Right.
Yeah, it might sound drastic, 10 days, but that's two starts. You're missing two starts, you know? So I don't know. I don't really know what they're doing. But for him to – yeah, maybe they need to come out and not say, okay, you got a five-day suspension to starting pitchers. Maybe they say, okay, you're missing a start. How do they regulate that, though? I don't even know how they would really regulate that. Because they would just be like, okay, like, you're missing a start. And the team would just be like, okay, well, we'll start him tomorrow. Instead.
Right.
So I guess maybe they do need to do the days, you know?
I think what they need to say is that you're not allowed, in a typical five-man rotation, you are not allowed to pitch until you have missed a certain amount of turns through your rotation without any sort of switches. They do it from the rotation that they had set from the beginning going into it, and they say, hey, your turn hasn't come around for five times. Now, I know it's a little bit tough.
So the logical way, basically.
Exactly. But, I mean, I know that would be kind of tough to really go around, but it's like, you know, hey.
Would it, though? I mean, everybody knows what's going on. I mean.
Oh, everybody knows.
So, I don't know. That's interesting. I haven't really thought about that, to be honest.
I think this whole situation has been extremely Bush League on the part of
Ubaldo. Yeah, Ubaldo just looks like such a punk right now.
He really does. And then then he just rubs in your face with a no-no going into the seventh inning in the first weekend.
What a bastard.
Where he should have been sitting on the bench. Like, oh, God, that's got to stick. If you're a Rockies fan, that's got to stick in your crawl big time.
So the guy he hit, Tulo, did you see the bomb? See the home run he hit?
I did not.
Oh, my God. He crushed this home run to left field, and Houston went up on the train tracks. It was awesome.
That's great.
So I just wanted to say that. So
you love Tulo, don't you? let's move on then from that AL East series to another AL series from this weekend, and that was the Red Sox and the Tigers. No shortage of drama in this series weekend. Or offense. I wish the Phillies could get some of that offense going. Miguel Cabrera takes a liner off the face in spring training. He has 8 RBIs already.
A few home runs.
Just
Miggy being Miggy.
And Prince looks like he fits right in that offense already.
Yeah, they both, what was it, Saturday? They both hit 2 home
they
runs.
They both hit 2.
Like, what is going on over there? They are going to be so good.
You know what's going on over there? They got a nice little gift from Major League Baseball, and that was that they got to face the Red Sox pitching staff on opening weekend, who just looks abysmal. And the saving grace for them was supposed to be Clay Buchholz coming back. And he looks like dog shit.
The Red Sox really need to get this stink off them. Like, they're the stinkiest team in the league. They really need to, like, string a couple wins together and get the ball rolling. Because this team is just, you gotta just think, going 0-3 from a team in that situation last year, you just gotta just feel like they're kind of just like, I mean, I'm sure they're looking at it, you know, it's only 3 games, but still. I mean, they got off to a bad start last year.
They did, yeah.
They fell apart at the end of the year last year.
And then Adrian Gonzalez and Jacoby Ellsbury caught fire for most of the season and just took them to what seemed like thought was a clinched playoff berth.
Yeah, they were looking like the best team in the league.
They really were.
I don't know. That team's stinky.
And it looked good from spring training because you had Pedroia, who looked really good. Pedroia looked great in spring. You had Lester, who was dealing all spring long. And then the season starts and they're 0-3 and they're sitting at the bottom. And meanwhile, Toronto and Baltimore are sitting at the top.
Yeah.
3-0 and 2-1.
Pretty crazy. They're going to have to get it together, you know. It's still early, but
so as tough as the AL East looked like it was going to be going into it, all of a sudden things are reversed.
The Yankees are 0-3 too.
And the Yankees are 0-3 also. They got swept by the Rays to open the year.
Mm-hmm.
So the AL East, as we knew, was going to be nothing short of interesting this year.
Yeah, the AL East is going to be wild.
And it's certainly proving to be that. Now, we know Baltimore's probably not going to hang around that long.
No.
Probably not. But Toronto is interesting.
Don't get
Toronto's very interesting.
Don't get me started on Toronto. I'll talk all day about
Toronto's
Toronto.
Very interesting.
They can get enough pitching. Watch out.
Yeah, so the Tigers and Miguel Cabrera, they look like they're on pace to score, you know, the 10 million runs this year. They just look unbelievable.
Fister went down with an injury.
That was my next point, that even though their offense looks like it's pretty beastly, I mean, they scored, what, 13 runs on Sunday?
Yeah.
They just look unbelievable in that they're dialed in. Despite Justin Verlander, the rest of the staff not looking so great. Pfister goes down with a strained, it was his hip, like, right?
Rib cage muscle.
His rib, his hip, something in that area.
Yeah, something in his torso.
And then Sunday, Max Scherzer just gets thrown to the Wolves.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, what we thought was a good deep pitching staff and just a lineup that can mash. Well, we've seen the mash, but the pitching just doesn't seem to be there quite yet. If I'm a Tigers fan, I'm excited about the wins and I'm excited about the hitting and what Fielder and Cabrera together do to that lineup. But the pitching leaves a little bit to be desired. Oh, and Valverde, who was perfect last year, blew his first save in the first game of the year.
I think it's good that he got it out of the way. Get that distraction out of the way, to be honest.
You sound like Jimmy Leland. Yeah.
Well, here's my rationale with the Tigers, though. Because I feel like you could look at what I was saying about the Phillies earlier and you could say, oh, it's just four games. What's he talking about?
Right.
But they have a recurring issue that I'm talking about. The Tigers, with their bad pitching these first three games, now that's where you look at the sample size and you say, they'll be fine. Because they don't have a track record of bad pitching. They have good pitching. Right. So I feel like I'm not concerned about that at all if I'm a Tigers fan. They're going to come around and that offense is going to stay hot. You know,
Scherzer only pitched 5 innings in his first start.
I mean,
and they put up what, 5 runs, 7 runs?
Anybody can get roughed around any day. Maybe he comes out, you know, through the next turn and has a bad start. Yeah, maybe you start getting a little concerned. But I feel like their problem, there's no problem.
If you worry about anybody, you worry about Pfister because you wonder. Wonder if his.
You worry about the injury.
His is a little bit more serious.
They need Pfister. He's their number two.
It's true. I want to move to the NL for a second because we got to talk about the Blue Jays for a little bit, a team that you really like. And I want to talk about a team that I really like, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, my God. Why do you like them so much? That's all I ever hear. Oh, Diamondbacks. Oh, no.
3-0 start? Am I wrong?
I know. I'm over here making fun. They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
They look awesome right now. And it's just it's proving to me more that the NL West is just even more pathetic than we thought it was.
Well, they beat up those sorry Giants.
So, oh, my God, are they bad. And now Lincecum can't throw a slider. And they just
What is with him? He always has some kind of issue. Every once in a while, he has this issue where he just gives up, like, a ton of runs for, like, a month. And then he gets back to being Lincecum. He's got a lot of issues, that guy.
And he wasn't throwing a slider. And then his velocity's down. It's just all and over again. So they're going to overcompensate for it and sign Matt Cain to a retarded contract. I don't know what's going. Who is running that baseball team?
Brian Sabian.
Does he know what he's doing? I mean, they won a world championship, but what is going on there?
I don't know what they're doing.
I think you can write up the NL West right now and just give it to the D-backs.
I think they're gonna win. I mean,
there's no other threats in that division.
The Dodgers are playing pretty good so far, but I don't think they have enough talent yet to win. I think it's gonna take them probably a year or two to get back to where they were.
Kershaw has a stomach bug now.
Oh yeah.
So now he's not pitching.
Can't eat Mexican food.
The Dodgers, I will agree, are good. They have talent on that team, but they don't have enough to compete.
Yeah, they don't have enough
Diamondbacks
to compete this
the
year.
The Diamondbacks have too many young studs that we love, the studs we like to talk about, like Goldschmidt and guys like that. They just have too much of it. Their star guy is Upton, who's just about to have a monster year, in my opinion. Their pitching is deep, and they're not these, like, they're not these established guys. They're these up-and-comers like Ian Kennedy and Dan Hudson, who just looks like he's going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, I think Dan Hudson's going to be really good.
And on top of that, they have a top-tier closer in J.J. Putz.
You like Putz?
I think he's top-tier.
He's okay.
He played well last year.
Yeah.
He's a guy that
I don't trust him.
Really?
He needs to get back to where he used to be when he was with the Mariners for me to trust him.
But at the same time, when you look at it, this team, they don't have any.
They're good.
They don't have any payroll either.
I know, it's
crazy. They've done all of this without.
Yeah, what if they all of a sudden decide they want to spend some money?
That'd be insane. And from what I've seen from the couple games in this series to open up, people are going to the ballpark. They're excited about this team. Phoenix has some good. Phoenix, who knows? You know, you never know what's going to happen with Arizona. They are, you know, it's another case of these. These expansion teams that all of a sudden have these, you know, world championships, you know, like with the Marlins, they have two and they're only what, not even. Same with the Diamondbacks in 2001. So I think that's a pretty interesting storyline. So we went over the Sox and the Yankees, we went over the Tigers, we went over the Diamondbacks, some interesting stuff there. We're going to kind of rehash that in a little bit. What we need to talk about here, though, is the third baseman and the third base position. And just everything that we heard about over the offseason spring training was these new guys going to third base.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Cabrera at third now. Right. Hanley Ramirez is at third now.
Trumbo
is at third now. And it's kind of interesting because it's a weird kind of experiment where you think you can get by in doing this, but third base is a pretty important position.
And I feel like it'd be really tough to adapt to because those balls... They don't call it the hot corner for no reason.
Well, Miguel Cabrera learned that pretty quick.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like that would actually, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, obviously in Hanley's case, he's moving from shortstop, you know, arguably the hardest position, but, you know, moving to third base is no joke, so I'm sure he's dealing with it a little bit, but, yeah, I mean, you look at a guy like Trumbo, and, I mean, he's kind of stunk it up over there. I saw him live make one of the errors that he made, and he just looked... It was bad. Like, he just couldn't get the ball out of his glove.
He looked like he was lost.
Yeah, and I want to say this, because I don't know how possible this is or how likely it is to happen, but if I'm the Angels, I'm signing Albert Pujols with the thought in my mind that maybe I give him a shot at third base. Because, you know, he came up, you know, 10 years back or whatever as a third baseman. They moved him away because he wasn't that great. But he's not that bad either. And if they're, you know, why don't you just put Trumbo over there? From what we've seen from Trumbo, I really feel like Pujols will be better. Now, how is Pujols going to feel about changing his position? I mean, he's Albert Pujols. Well, he's one of the greatest ever.
Well, he played a little third base even last year with the Cardinals for a bit.
Yeah, and I'm sure he wouldn't be mind to do some spot duty over there.
You're paying him enough. You should do whatever you tell him.
You would think he would. But I'm just saying, you know, these guys and their egos, you know, how is he going to be like, well, I'm Albert Pujols. I'm a first baseman. I'm playing wherever I want kind of thing. I don't know if that'll happen or not. I'm just saying. Because otherwise, if that's not the case, I don't know why you don't just make the move. Because from what I've seen from Trumbo, he can't handle the job. And I know it's only a few games, but he looked really bad. Looked really bad.
How many home runs did Trumbo hit last year? He had like 29 or 30. I mean, that's pretty impressive for a rookie season.
Yeah.
However.
Except he can't get on base to save his life.
That's where I was getting to next. Trumbo has three errors in two games now. Three errors in two games.
Did he not play the other game?
I think he had an off day. Last year, he hit .254, .291, and .477 as a rookie, and an OPS of .768. Now, this was supposed to be their big upgrade there because he's a masher. He can hit the ball. He can hit home runs, and that's great. And they have a ton of power in that Angels lineup. But there are other options at third base. Alberto Kiaspo.
I like Kiaspo.
Hit .288, .366, and .375 in 475 at-bats last season, which is a much better line than Trumbo's.
It really is.
Much better.
You can't just look at the home runs.
You really can't. And there are other available third basemen. Mason is Turris. Hit .276, .334, and .388 in 449 at-bats last season. Still better than Trumbo. So my question to you is it really worth it?
I don't know. It depends on how much you value those home runs. I mean, especially, you know, you got Albert there. He's going to hit some home runs.
And my boy Kendrys Morales coming back.
Kendrys Morales, Howie Kendrick.
They all can match.
They got some pop in that lineup. So, yeah, maybe you do look at it a little better to maybe get Trumbo out of there.
And
who's DHing for them, though?
Morales.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, and that's what they need to do. I forgot about that, yeah. So, but, yeah, you know, Trumbo...
You would think in the AL with such lineup flexibility with DH, they'd be able to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
But not only is Trumbo playing third base and blocking guys like his Turris and Kiaspo of playing time who have better on-base percentages, better line stats from last year, and are better defensively, but then the logjam over at first base with Kendrys Morales, Albert Pujols, and Trumbo is also blocking Mike Trout, who's now sitting in the minor leagues.
Yeah, Mike Trout. Well, Bobby Abreu.
Well, that's the big
Bobby
that's
will get
the big
traded,
problem.
And then Trout will come
but
up.
Who's going to take him? Is there an AL team that needs a DH that badly?
I just feel like at some point you just got to be like, look, just take him, give him, pay for $1 million of his salary.
And we'll take a subpar prospect.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point you would just be trading him to get Trout in the lineup. So, I mean, Just make it happen.
Well, there was a report before the season started, like right towards the end of spring training, that there was a deal in play. I think your favorite analyst, John Heyman, had reported that...
I don't believe it.
had reported that the Indians were bringing him in and that it was a done deal. And then all of a sudden, both sides denied it, and it never happened. Something that's not new with the John Heyman report.
Right, yeah, seriously. Seriously, he sucks. But... Point is, why are you blocking Mike Trout with Bobby Abreu?
It's stupid.
Even if you can't trade him, just bench him. You're going to have to pay him the money regardless. Just figure it out. You know, get Trout in the lineup.
With how much money that you just spent on Pujols and CJ Wilson,
yeah,
you're going to bring in 10 times that with the game.
You bring Trout in, too?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my. Ticket sales are going to go through the roof.
That's a fantasy team by itself.
Even just from the hype, they'll have... Think about the hype, all right? They got the Albert Pujols, CJ Wilson, new contract hype. Then they got the Kendry Morales coming back from the injury hype. Then they got Mike Trout with the prospect hype. Then they got the we can win it all this year hype. Get Bobby Abreu's ass down.
Oh, and you want to see home runs? Mark Trumbo can hit 30 of them.
Yeah,
you
know, coming off the bench.
They have enough there. I think they need to buy their time with Trumbo, let him play off the bench. He's going to get at-bats as a DH every once in a while because they've already said Kendry Morales is going to play every single day to start. So, you know, bring up Trout. Cut Abreu's ass because he's not doing anybody any good sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
He's really not doing anybody good at being on that team, period.
He wouldn't even be a good bench player.
Exactly. Because
you know he'd be arrogant about it.
Oh, he'd be terrible.
He's always been arrogant.
He'd be terrible. And you and I are very familiar with Abreu's arrogance. So, I just think the Angels... who really are being called the favorites to make it to the World Series out of the AL this year because of all the moves they made in the offseason, they can make it better for themselves by just making a few little tinkers here.
Jeez, I wish the Phillies had their problems.
Right. We can't get a damn...
They have too many good players.
We can't get a damn hit, and they're worried about leaving hits on the bench.
I mentioned something in one of our preview episodes about that problem we're discussing, their corner position player problem.
There's a logjam.
Phillies... Get talking to the Angels. Make a deal happen. Give them Blanton. Give them something. Get us Kiaspo or something. Get us somebody who can bring more to this team at third base or one of the corner positions.
Well, here's the thing. Polanco's defense at third base is outstanding.
But even if you could put, like, Mayberry at first base or in the outfield and put whoever you trade for at first base or in the outfield, you know, you don't have to mess with first base.
Right.
Or third base. You know, you could... I don't know. I'm still upset. I'm sorry.
And don't forget, Tomy's going to get it in every once in a while, too.
I got really excited on Sunday when I saw his name in the starting lineup.
Oh, my God.
I called Kasha. I was like, Kasha, get over here. I was like, Tomy's starting. And she's like, who? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't have no idea who Tomy is. But she will. She will.
Kasha is Mike's girlfriend, for those of you who don't know. The Tomy thing is exciting. And it makes you wonder if he were just a couple... If this were, like, a couple years ago and he could still play first base every day, how all these problems would be solved.
I wouldn't even care.
It wouldn't even matter.
I wouldn't even care at all if Tomy was playing every day. I'd just be excited to see
Tomy. Isn't it going
to
be great when interleague play starts and he plays every day?
Oh, I can't wait. I won't go any... I don't care what I'm doing. I'm watching those games.
It's going
to
be
straight through, start to finish, so I can see Tomy. Oh. Do you notice the face paint effect that Tomy is having on the team?
He really is.
What is... All of a sudden, everybody's wearing Tomy sunglasses, the flip-ups, and the face paint.
And
tell me that's not Tomy. That's got to be Tomy.
It has to be. All of a sudden, everybody's Tim Tebow on this team. I don't understand what's going on.
And so, I saw Hunter Pence wearing the face paint. I'm like, what
is... Well, Pence is a little kooky. I'm not surprised by that.
Kasha said the same thing. She's like, he would wear the face paint.
He bats goofy. He runs goofy.
He's just got the face paint effect on the whole team. Everybody looks at the gym. I don't know. I don't even know if that's what it is. I just think it's kind of funny.
Well, listen, if you were on that team, you would talk to Tomy every chance you get.
I do not. Charlie does.
There are things to be optimistic about with this Phillies team. Let's hope that they can do what they need to do to make it right. I think that they will because at some point they're not going to have a choice because they're going to be that bad.
I think that they will, but I also just have this thing in the back of my mind where I just see Ruben and Charlie as just being so stubborn sometimes.
I'm not sure that it's Charlie. I think it's more Ruben.
You think it's Ruben?
I think it is, kind of.
Because I feel like, I don't know, see, I feel like it comes in with Charlie a little bit. Charlie's obviously experimenting with these new techniques with bunting and stuff, which is good to see. I just feel like in the past he's been too loyal to a point to a fault, where right. it's almost like he's being stubborn about taking these guys out of the lineup. Right. And then I feel like Ruben's stubborn, too, just in the way that he's, you know, overall, you know, just managing the team and everything.
And it's tough for Charlie, too, because with all these guys that they brought in to kind of fill in the holes when they need to, he's got to come up with all these different lineups and piecemeal everything together. So that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what you're paying him to do, but it's not an easy thing to do. So you just kind of sit and wonder if he can really actually optimize this lineup to where it can perform at its best with what he's given.
Yeah. I don't know how we got back talking about the Phillies. I'm just upset. I'm upset.
Well, the reason we got back talking about it is because you mentioned that the Phillies
trade.
Need to talk to the Angels.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that was in the offseason and during towards the end of spring training, there was a rumor that because the Angels GMs were and scouts were at the Phillies spring training mm-hmm. games looking at Blanton.
Yeah.
And everybody said that they were going to trade for Chiasso. So it's interesting that you brought that up. Maybe that experiment isn't quite dead.
I just think that there's no way that you don't.
Would you trade Blanton and throw Kendrick into that fifth spot if you could bring Alberto Chiasso in?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think Kendrick's a solid enough fifth?
Oh, yeah. I mean, fifth starter, who freaking cares? I mean, seriously, he's not even going to pitch in the playoffs. So the way I see it, he's expendable. You know, obviously from a depth standpoint, you know, if you have a guy go down, you know, you're going to need Blanton and Kendrick. But, you know, let's worry about that problem later. I feel like the offense is a more pressing need. And I feel like, you know, even if one of those guys do go down, we'll still have the best one through three in baseball. Maybe. Maybe.
Mike Trout's sitting in AAA. Do you trade Cole Hamels to get him?
Yes.
100%?
100%. I hesitated because I'm wondering if the Angels would even make that deal because I think Mike Trout...
Well, they have kind of an influx of starting pitching right now.
Yeah.
They have a pretty solid top three. Their top three isn't as good as the Phillies, but they...
It's really good.
CJ Wilson, Jared Weaver, Dan Heron. Actually, their top four.
And Big Irv.
Big Irv.
Yeah, I mean... And Big Irv. Yeah, but I don't know. If that deal, I would take it in a heartbeat. I think Mike Trout is going to be a freak.
Even if it means that you end up meeting the Angels and that retarded pitching staff, or what would be that retarded pitching staff in the World Series, would you make that deal?
Maybe. Yes, I would. But I'm biased. You know, I like hitting. I need to see these guys hit or I'm going to be upset. And
I think there'd be riots in the streets.
I think it might get bad. I mean, obviously, and let me say this too. If it's you're doing Hamels for Trout straight up, well, see, I don't know because he is in a contract year, so maybe that would be a fair trade. If he had time left on his contract, I don't know that
you're getting the best pitcher on the market, really,
as a rental though. But maybe they would make that deal. Because they are in a team, like we said in the preview, that
they have an expendable lineup because they have so many extra pieces. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, your starting five would be CJ Wilson and Cole Hamels, two lefties, and then Dan Heron and Jared Weaver, two righties, and Big Irv, your fifth.
Unbelievable.
That is retarded.
That's
pitching
ridiculous.
Staff. Tweet us.
And, yeah, tweet us. And... You got the whole Los Angeles Cole Hamels thing going.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, that would be...
I'm saying right now that deal would never happen.
I don't think it would either.
And if it were presented to me, I'd probably say no because I would seem like it would be too good to be true and I would just get turned away by it. And that's why I'd be an awful general manager. But let us know. Trade Cole Hamels to get Mike Trout?
Yeah.
At Alex _ Metz, M-E-T-Z, at M. Jankiewicz, J-A-N-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z. Would you trade, if you're the Phillies or the Angels, would you trade Mike Trout or Cole Hamels?
Email us, turning2podcast@gmail.com. We want to hear what you guys think. Mike Trout, Cole Hamels, straight up.
An old-fashioned baseball trade.
But yeah, and don't look at it too like... Forget Cole getting re-signed. Cole on the deal he's on now, where he is a free agent at the end of the year.
And he's making $15 million right now.
Yes. Cole for Mike Trout. Do you do it? Does it make sense? Are we nuts? Is it even crazy to even think about that? Let us know what you think.
That would make the Phillies starting pitching staff, Roy Halladay, Cliff Lee.
Worley.
Blanton. Kendrick.
Do the face he just made.
But you're throwing in pretty much the number one, a top three rated prospect by
who is even number America. He's number one depending on where you look.
Right, exactly. So
and he's like 19. He's 19. 5-tool prospect. He's as fast as Michael Bourne right now.
What's the GM's name over there now? The new GM in Los Angeles? What the hell's his name?
I forget his name.
I mean, you would want to think your GM isn't actively trying to move a kid like that that you have waiting in the wings, but who knows?
But if you're the Angels and you became built to win overnight,
they really did.
They're built to win right now.
They're probably going to be in the World Series.
It's not out of the question. So that's the kind of team where you kind of start getting crazy and you kind of start trading prospects, kind of like the Philadelphia Phillies. You start trading all these prospects in the hope to win now. And then you look at a team.
They're in a better position to do it now than the Phillies were. And the Phillies were doing it the last 3 years.
They are. And you know why they got all these guys? The Phillies got all this pitching because their lineup was raking.
It was. And now,
seriously, you can't tell me that if that lineup was not as dominant as it was and fail so miserably from starting pitching over the years that they would not have the rotation they have now. They brought our guys in. Cliff League, Halliday, Hamels. Well, and Hamels is already there. But they brought those guys in to think that we were going to have the best combination of pitching and offense.
And we kind of did until last year. I mean, 2009, yeah. they played it.
2009, they were great.
They played an amazing series in. They played an amazing series against the Yankees for the World Series. They took them to 6 games. I mean, really, I don't want to say that it was Charlie's fault on some managing flubs on, you know, pitching Pedro Martinez when he did and stuff like that.
He had to, though.
He really did. I don't really. A lot of people in Philly, from what I've heard, they like to kind of blame that on him. But it was just an amazing series, and the Yankees were just a better team mm-hmm. in that series. And then the year before that, they ran into a hot Giants team that just started raking.
It was
all
the year after.
I
kind of think that's when the offense started to decline.
It did a little bit, but it was really noticeable last year.
I feel like ever since Halliday's been on the team, they haven't been the same team.
Do you think it's because they signed him and they feel more comfortable, or do you just think it's because they're getting older?
Maybe both. I don't know. When I look at that team, and I could be wrong, but when I look at that team, I see a body language that says, we think we're better than we are. Or some kind of complacency, like a complacent kind of approach offensively.
Yeah.
I don't know. We could speculate about that all day.
But I'm still upset of the firing over Milt Thompson. I just think that was...
Yeah, you suggested off the air earlier that we should bring Milt
back. He was a scapegoat.
How does it look now? Milt getting fired and nothing changed. They had to do it.
He'll come back. He'll tug on his genitals for a second. He'll say, let's get to work. And he'll start fucking hitting again. I can guarantee that.
Whoa.
No, here's the thing. We got into this because we were talking about new faces at third base and we were talking about Mark Trumbo with LA. So I think it was worth mentioning that the guys over in Miami and Detroit, Miguel Cabrera and Hanley Ramirez, who are new at third base also, they're having a little bit of the growing pains too. Even though Miguel Cabrera's hitting the ball, he had a couple errors the other day also.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting to see if in the long run this experiment is going to pay off. I think the Angels have to do something. But can you stay afloat and give up that many errors with a guy like Miguel Cabrera and a guy like Hanley Ramirez, who both look dialed in at the plate right now pretty much?
Well, Hanley's struggling a little bit.
Yeah. He hit the ball well today against the Phillies.
Did he? Yeah. I didn't see the line.
But, I mean, I think it's worth taking a look at in the long run of the entire season and then into the playoffs is that, well, if Miami even makes the playoffs, but it's just interesting. Can you really just punt a whole category like you do in fantasy baseball sometimes? Where you just say, you know what, screw defense at third. This guy can hit. He's got to be in the lineup even if he screws up.
As I said earlier, I'm always going to go with the bats. That's kind of was my argument about Dom Brown. But I do wonder if there is something...
Well, even I like defense a little bit more than you do, and I'll put Dom Brown in the field.
I wonder, though, if I'd be more likely to do, like, a Dom Brown kind of experiment, because I feel like you could stick almost anybody in left field, whereas I'm not so sure about third base.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like you want your infield defense to be pretty good.
You need
know?
It.
But I
Especially
feel like...
Especially with a team like the Angels, you have such deep starting pitching like the Phillies do.
And I feel like with a situation with Dom Brown, you know, most of the time he's just going to be running and catching a ball. I feel like he's athletic enough to figure that out. But, you know...
Yeah, the guy's not an idiot. He's 19 years old and he's just, you know...
Dom?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Tom's 24.
Is he 24 now?
He's 24 years old.
Oh, jeez. I look like an idiot. No, seriously. He's young enough where you would think he can figure this out, you know? He's been in the minors long enough. He's a top-rated prospect. He can figure out how to track a fly ball eventually.
You would think.
And he's done it in right field. Why can't he do it in a left field?
Well, he wasn't great over there either.
Well,
but that was my point. I'm a little more hesitant about it at third base, but I still think it's worth a try. I think I give Jim Leland a lot of credit for having the balls to try that because
The balls to try it, but the balls to tell your star player, hey, look, we brought in this other star player. Yeah. You're going to play third base now. That's just how it's going to be.
I love it. I mean, if you can get first base production from first and third base, let's give it a shot and see if it can happen.
Yeah. I really like the Tigers. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But
definitely.
I think the more interesting thing is going to be the Trumbo situation and the Hanley Ramirez thing. I think Miguel Cabrera is a good enough all-around baseball player. Well, he'll figure it out. Hanley Ramirez is...
Well, and he used to play third.
Exactly. Hanley Ramirez has never played third, and he's kind of a dick. So, I think we may run into some issues with that later as the season goes on. We've run into issues with him at shortstop, the position he does play.
And he's kind of a dick.
So, let's see what happens there. And I think unfortunately for Trumbo, unless you can get on base some more, you're going to start riding the bench. That's just what's going to happen.
Well, he's still young. Maybe he can be better at that. But, yeah, I don't know how you can yet have a .290 on base percentage and be a starter. I don't care how many home runs you hit.
Yeah. Well, as we said earlier, it's just there's no shortage of things to talk about as far as the first weekend of baseball is concerned. There's changes everywhere. There's teams that should be raking or struggling. There's teams that are awful, like the Mets that are 3-0 and the Orioles that are 3-0.
And there's still just like we could just speculate all day because we really just don't know yet.
Yeah. But before we get out of here, it was also the first week of fantasy baseball at Turning 2.
Uh-oh.
I think it's worth mentioning that as the season started and ended with the first week, sitting comfortably in third place or second place,
second
am I
place.
Correct? Second place is your boy, Mike Jankowicz.
Yes, thank
you. He was also the, granted by Yahoo, I guess so this is something new they're doing every week now, is the Home Run King
Award. King.
Mike is the Home Run King of this year, of this week.
12 home runs.
12 in the first
week.
In
like 3 or 4 days.
That's unbelievable.
I had guys on my team just blow up. Jay Bruce hit 3 already. Dunn hit 1. Cozart hit 1. Santana hit 2 on Sunday. Yeah.
So meanwhile, while you're raking and sitting pretty in second place, I'm all the way down at 8th.
You had a tough week.
An early favorite by most, mainly just me.
I thought you were. I'm really surprised to see that you were 3-7.
3-7 this week.
Yeah, not good.
And I blame it on a terrible Easter Sunday where my team as a whole batted 125.
Jeez.
And I had Clay Buchholz, Max Scherzer, and Mike Minor just play big fat turds for me. Which was bad. But the real issue with my team right now, and I've talked to you a little bit about this before, but I want to bring it up on the air because I think it's worth mentioning, is kind of like how the Angels have a log jam on the corners. I have a log jam in the outfield.
So do I. People in our league, I'm trying to trade outfield. I got too many good guys. I'm not even trying to trade rape. I know I've done it to you before. But please, just believe me. I had Matt Joyce and J.D. Martinez sitting on my bench.
And they
on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, they hit big home
they
runs.
Went, they had, combined had like 2 or 3 home runs for like 7 or 8 RBIs on my freaking bench.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I had an iffy Thursday and Friday where I was like, oh my God, why is my team struggling so much? And then all of a sudden as a team on Saturday, they hit like 500 and were just unbelievable. Stealing bags, going crazy. And then Sunday they batted 125.
Yeah, that's bad.
And so, but what I was bringing up the logjam in the outfielders is sitting on my bench is a nice little sleeper, Alex Presley from Pittsburgh.
I remember doing my draft preparation. I was like, I was putting people's names.
Yeah.
And people I can get late in the draft.
Yeah.
And I was putting notes.
Yeah.
The note that I had for Alex Presley was like, it said over 800 OPS last year.
Uh huh.
Nobody is gonna draft this guy. That's seriously the note that I didn't even think I needed to put more. I was like, dude, I'll get him in like the 25th round. Nobody knows about this guy. That was a great pickup by you, dude.
Well, I went up to get him a little bit. I think I took him in the 22nd or 23rd, 21st round.
Still
going to
be worth
like that.
It.
I think it is. But here's my problem. just like how there are people in the Angels organization, like Bobby Abreu, blocking stars like Mike Trout, there's a guy over in Toronto by the name of Colby Rasmus who is currently blocking Alex Presley from getting into my everyday lineup. So I need some advice. And I know you can't really give me any direct advice because we're foes, quote unquote, because we're in the same
league. I told you my opinion.
We're in the same league. You did tell me your opinion. But, you know, Rasmus is a guy who had a really rough year last year. And it's showing in the early stages of this year because he's being batted in ninth in the lineup.
He's really struggling against lefties, too.
And he went 0 for 7 in that 16-inning game to open the year, which is not a good way to start.
That'll sour you real quick.
So I don't want to be the guy who just gives up on his players that he drafted. So because I took Rasmus when I did because I know he's a bounce-back candidate. He's a big bounce-back candidate because we've seen him be good before. And he kind of is in that big kind of masher Toronto lineup now. By the way, Kelly Johnson's doing work for me.
Oh,
and Brett Lowry's starting to turn around
Kelly
a little bit,
Johnson.
Too. He's in that lineup where I think if he starts playing well, they're going to move him up in the order, and that's only going to help him. But Presley's already batting leadoff and second in that Pittsburgh lineup. And he's already batting over 300. His OPS or his on-base percentage is ridiculous, and he already stole two bags in three games. Do I give faith in the guy that I drafted earlier in Rasmus and say, I believe that you can do it? That you can put yourself in the position to win and give me fantasy points? Or do I do the thing that probably most fantasy players do? They get I was telling you earlier, after that 0-for-7 on opening day, I got an alert on my fantasy baseball app that 6,000 teams in Yahoo Fantasy Baseball had dropped Colby Rasmus. So do I go that route? And maybe not even cut him. Maybe just put him on my bench.
Did you see who George dropped? I'm sorry. Finish your thought. Go ahead.
Do I put him on my bench or even drop him in favor of the young stud Alex Presley? Or do I sit Alex Presley like most people are and just use him for outfield depth? I think at this point he's a starter.
If I'm you, I'm starting Presley until further notice, but I'm not dropping Rasmus.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Because my outfield also consists of Shane Victorino, Justin Upton, Brett Gardner, Lorenzo Cain, and Colby Rasmus. Those are my five outfielders.
It's pretty legit.
And then I have Alex Presley sitting on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very torn because, you know, Presley's batting over 300 and Rasmus is booting like a 1.8 or something. like just something terrible. I need to do something here.
Well, tweet him, email him.
Let me know what you think. Have you guys dropped Rasmus already? Did you even draft his ass? I took a chance. Am I an idiot?
No, you're not an idiot. He still has that potential. What I was saying earlier.
Oh, another player in our league, George, a fellow listener, and what's his team name? I love his team name. Broncos Balls and Bats. He's a Denver Broncos fan. So his team name is Broncos Balls and Bats.
I think this is one of those situations where George doesn't know who Dexter Fowler is. And Yahoo kind of screwed him because they talked a lot about his defense in his profile and that he wasn't hitting. So George saw that and was like,
oh, this guy
sucks.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's overall rated at like 150.
You're right.
And he still has that prospect shine to him. You know, now granted, he's kind of like a Rasmus kind of prospect. He really has kind of disappointed. But if Colby Rasmus was out there on the waiver wire, would you pick him up?
Probably. Even if he's batting 197 or whatever he's doing?
He picked up Juan Rivera.
Oof. That was the best thing available?
Well, see, he got bit by Yahoo again. Yahoo was saying that he was going to hit 20 home runs.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Yeah. Juan Rivera's going to hit 20 home runs.
I don't even know he's going to play enough to hit 20 home runs. But I didn't say anything. I didn't want to break his heart.
If you're playing fantasy baseball, do your research. Don't go by what ESPN or Yahoo tells you. And certainly seek out other sources of a fantasy expert or use your own brain and figure it out for yourself. Because these guys on ESPN, I mean, they're nice writers, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Another thing.
Matthew Berry, seriously?
Danny, I feel bad for you.
Is Danny a listener? Has he been listening?
Danny's a listener.
Okay, so Danny, we're talking to you now.
Danny... got last place in our league last year,
and he
was there for a lot of the time last year. And you know what? He was such a trooper about it. He hung on. He tried to make his team better. It didn't work out.
And we thought maybe he had turned over a new leaf because in the first couple rounds of the draft, he looked like he was drafting correctly.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't anything that surprised us, really. And then all of a sudden, Jason Worth felt him.
Yeah. Like the fourth. He reached a little bit, but it was better than what could have happened.
It's true.
But
however,
Danny, your team's better this year. Hang in there. You're in last place now.
It's going to get better.
It'll get better. You'll be all right.
Especially when Washington brings up Bryce Harper, as they probably will, because you decided to take him in the 18th round.
Of course he took him.
So that's just our little... We're going to do this pretty much every week. We're going to go through...
A quick fantasy
recap.
We're
going to go through what happened in our league every week, and we're just going to talk about some things that happened with us. Mike is sitting pretty right now. He's doing really well. I'm struggling a little bit, but it's early. I'm hoping my guys can turn on. Justin Upton, my number one overall pick, really hasn't done... Or my number two overall pick really hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, your team is good enough.
So I think it'll be okay. Laurie really hasn't done anything yet. And, you know, Kendrick Morales went 4-for-4 on Saturday. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I might have to make a couple pitching maneuvers. And now, something we didn't even talk about with the Nationals, I can't believe we're bringing this up now, Drew Storen.
We forgot.
Going to go see Dr. James Andrews now. The Nationals fear a bone chip.
Nationals fear bone chip.
And from Adam Kilgore over there at the Washington Post.
Nationals fear bone chip.
Nationals fear. Dun, dun, dun. Nationals fear bone chip. Which is better news than what we thought when we saw the name Dr.
James. Anytime you see Dr. James, you think Tommy John right away.
Which could be bad because Storen just had an unbelievable year last year. And I have him on my team as well. So things are going to keep going. But we're going to keep you up to date what's going on in our league. And, you know, if you have questions, you want our advice, tweet us your questions. You know, if you want to get some fantasy advice from us, we'll let us know what you think. No big deal there. But that's it for this week. The first week of real baseball in the books.
First week of real baseball, and just so happy it's back.
I'm so happy it's back, too. And things are definitely going to get more interesting. I mean, we didn't even get into the Ozzie Guillen stuff, which is just unbelievable.
Yeah, he's...
But we didn't want to bore you guys with politics. So it's going to get a lot more interesting. It's always tough to really judge certain teams the first week. I mean, look at the NL East. The Mets are in first place.
It's basically... The NL East is upside down right now. Like, literally, look at the standings. It's upside down.
So things are definitely going to progress and get more interesting, as you know, every year that happens in baseball. So it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to doing it with you. Get in touch with us.
Can't stress that enough.
Yes, get in touch with us.
We really want to incorporate our listeners on this show. Tweet us at MJANKIEWICZ, at Alex_Metz, M-E-T-Z, turning to TWOpodcast@gmail.com. Questions about, you know, or comments about the Mike Trout stuff, comments about Alex's fantasy issue with Colby Rasmus, anything you want to talk about.
And let us know. Like I was saying, if you have fantasy questions for us with your team, we'll be glad to answer them and give us, you know, what we would do if we were in your position. So,
yeah, definitely.
And if you have any, you know, comments or, you know, suggestions about the show, things you want to hear more or less of, I'm sure a lot of you probably want to hear less about the Phillies, but. Whatever.
No, a lot of you probably like it. We talk about the Phillies, too.
Yeah, because they're doing so terribly. Please, let us know. We want to make the show better. We're having a lot of fun doing it, so we want to incorporate you guys into that also. So send us a tweet, send us an email, ask us some questions, and we'll incorporate your stuff into the show as well. For Mike Jankowicz, I am Alex Metz. This has been Turning 2, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.